I cry my eyes out because I have never been injured ever to this point, like never. So this is my first major injury. We're supposed to be going to a world championship and I'm supposed to be not competing, but performing at the 2012 Olympics with a group.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. The purpose of this show is to share stories of hardship and victory as an encouragement for those in the middle of their own hard thing. Because we know hardship produces perseverance, which produces character, which ultimately produces hope.
Today's guest is Nick Woodard. Nick is a professional jump rope athlete, coach, and owner of Learning the Ropes. Nick talks about tearing his Achilles and the difficult road he faced to full recovery. He also talks about the challenges the jump rope community faces in order to grow, and he even describes the two most difficult jump rope tricks he's ever performed. I hope you enjoy the show, and please don't forget to subscribe. Now here's the conversation with Nick Woodard. All right, Nick. You're on the Do Hard Things podcast. So first question right out of the gate, people got to know who you are. So when people ask you, what do? What do you tell them? How do you answer that question?
What do I tell them? So I tell people that I am a professional jump rope athlete because I feel like that's the space that I'm in now. I've been jumping for 28 years. Started when I was 6 years old in Texas with my PE teacher, had a club that I joined, then joined the team. And I've loved every minute of it. Five-time national champion, 14-time world champion, travel the world, performing and competing, which has been awesome. But now we have our business called Learn the Ropes. And so we get a chance to impact youth and adults through jump rope and movement and activities. So we love doing that. And I feel like it's my job. It's my profession. It's all I do now. So I tell people I'm a professional jump rope athlete.
And there's probably like six of you in the world, right? Or something like that. How many can say that?
Yeah, there's not a whole bunch who have actually taken jump rope and made it their full-time career. So for those who have done it, you know, kudos to you. But it's a tough market, but it's a fun market as well.
Yeah. I agree with that. I didn't know anything about jump rope before I had, well, I shouldn't say anything. I didn't know a lot about jump rope before I had this job. And it's definitely a fun community for sure. So you said five-time national champion and 14-time world champion. How does that add up?
It's a little backwards, right? So when I first started with the sport, with a particular organization I was with, we just had national championships that we would go to. And there wasn't a whole bunch of qualifiers to get to the world championship level. At one point, there was a little bit of a qualifier that you would have to do outside of nationals, and then you could go to the worlds. And then shortly after that, a new organization called World Jump Rope popped up. And then from that one, you did not have to have any qualifications to get there as far as like qualifying early to move on. Okay. So it was a big world event, and we brought a lot of the best jumpers from around the world came to this event to, you know, see who could win. And so I've been able to win different event world championships at these competitions. Yeah, so there might be one competition where I win one event out of 13 or 14. There might be another championship where I win three or four events out of 14 or 15. So that's kind of how they're more event style championships than it is like an overall championship.
Right. Do they have that now in the jump rope world, like a grand champion type of a concept, or is it just individual events like swimming and track and field?
For sure. So they have a little bit of both. They have the individual championship that you can win. So individual freestyle, individual speed, you can win those and be a world champion at those. There's also an overall. So if you think about swimming, if you think about gymnastics, some track and field, there are overall championships. So you can be an individual overall. You can be a single rope in the single rope team overall, a double dutch team overall. And there's normally anywhere between three to like six events that go into that overall. And as you compete, you will collect points, right? And then you're going against everybody else who also is in the overall category. And then you you can win.
Yeah.
I am not good at speed. So therefore, I'm not really an overall champion. I can do freestyle very well, but that's about it.
Well, that's all everybody in the general public cares about anyway. So you pick the right discipline, man. And then the other thing you said was we a couple times talking about like what you're doing now with jump rope. Yes. So who's the we?
We is my wife. So my wife is Kaylee Woodard, and she is also a national and world champion jump roper. She's been jumping for, I feel like over, I'll say 24, 25 years now, you know, national and world champion. And we built this business called Learning the Ropes. And, you know, our whole thing is to educate, inspire, and serve others through the sport of jump rope. And we love doing that. We love jumping. We love showcasing what we can do as a talent level, but we love teaching, right? So being able to work with students and show them what they can do with jump rope, but then also working with like PE teachers, new coaches, and even seasoned coaches to show them where you can start, where you can go, and how you can continue to improve to make sure that your jumpers are finding success in anything that they're doing. So we want to make sure that we use our expertise and our years of knowledge in the sport to really enhance and help others through jump rope.
So one of the things that I think is unique about jump rope is that like everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but it feels like everybody knows or has some level of experience with the jump rope, unless you're like 2 years old, probably. But sure. How often are you finding like when you go to a school or YMCA or the different organizations and places that kids are that you're teaching them, that they have no experience or understanding of how to use a jump rope?
I would say it's a little bit, to me, it's like 50-50. And it depends on the area that you go. And it also depends on like the PE teacher that they were exposed to. Some PE teachers enjoy jump rope and they love teaching it. Some PE teachers don't, they're more of afraid is a loose term for it, but they don't really know what to do with it sometimes. So instead of having a true jump rope unit, they will just use it as a station. So they might not teach a whole bunch of skills, but they'll at least have them jumping. And then you'll have other ones who will use it as a unit and they're actually teaching skills. So when I walk in, you know, I would say the majority of the kids understand how to jump or at least get the rope over their head. When it comes to the different skills, now it depends on if they've been exposed to it. And then that's where we come in to really help them on where you can take jump rope for more than just a jump.
Yeah. So how do you inspire a kid to like go from, all right, this guy's in here teaching me jump rope. Like what's the thing that you can do to inspire them? And maybe I know all kids are different, but like, what's your go-to inspirational move?
For sure. So I have a few of them that like, I will show them to give them confidence first. And then we'll talk about what I do at the end, but a few of them, like a beginner push-up, right? So you just going down almost like a burpee with the rope. So that's one of the first skills that is really easy to do. Another one's like a simple arm wrap. So putting one arm out to the side and simply wrapping the rope with your with that arm, unwrapping it, and then turning it into a jump afterwards. Simple side swings and maybe like jumping on one foot. These are very easy and simple skills that a lot of kids can find success in early. Because a lot of times what happens, the reason kids fall off from it is because they don't find success in jump rope. Mm-hmm. So if they're always having to do footwork skills all the time, you're going to lose them if they can't do more than five jumps in a row. But the push-up, the arm wrap, side swings, jumping on one leg, it really only takes one, maybe two skills to feel successful there. So when I go in, a lot of times if I'm teaching, we're teaching those skills first so that they feel success. They're happy. They're enjoying it. Then towards the end, when we're wrapping up, myself, my wife, anybody that's jumping with us, we'll do like a little miniature show, right? So we show them where they can take jump rope if they choose to keep going with it. So that's where the high level skills come in, right? The triple unders, the quads, the handstands, some of the flips. And so we kind of wow them there so they can see, you know, yes, that is a very high level to get there, but I saw some success. So if I keep working, maybe I can get there. So we have to help them find the success first and then show them where they can take it after.
But what is the one or two moves at the end that like gets the biggest reaction from the crowd? And maybe it's adults or it can be kids.
Yeah. So I would say one of the biggest things that this wows the crowd are the flipping aspects. So whenever myself or my wife, we go out there, we do backflips, we do aerials, back handsprings. So those are big movements that you've seen in gymnastics. But then we bring it over to jump rope and use it with the rope, do skills with it. So when kids or adults see that, they're like, oh, I didn't realize you could do that with your rope. So once they see that, it really grabs them in a lot more and makes them want to continue jumping or see if they can get to that level at some point.
Hmm. And then one that I've always found like fascinating that never even crossed my mind until I got into this role was the releases, like letting go of a jump rope. And I watched Devin when we were at Wadapalooza do this to everybody in the CrossFit, you know, world when they were there. Cause you know, all they do is double unders with jump ropes. And so they watch him let go of the rope and you just see their jaws drop. Like, I don't know if that has any reaction for you when you're entertaining, but.
So that one has a reaction. I do a little bit of that. Sometimes I'll let go of one handle. Sometimes I'll let go of both handles and try to catch it. So those have some great reactions. Another one that's a fun one to do. It's like a butt bounce or a buddy. It's called the buddy bounce, right? So Buddy Lee, he was an old school jumper that's still jumping now. And he would sit on his butt. He would swing the rope over his head like a helicopter and bring it under his legs. And then he would jump, right? And so that skill is probably like a level 2-ish skill. Like it takes some abs and some core to actually get that skill, but it's not the hardest skill in the world. It's like a party trick almost, right?
Right.
If you can do some like releases, do some multiples, do the buddy bounce and then do a backflip, like jaws are dropped, minds are blown. It's crazy.
All right. I have to ask now, I got you on record. I've been asking for this off record for a long time. How do you do a backflip with a jump rope, Nick?
How do you do a backflip with a jump rope?
Yeah, just so you know, I got a trampoline. I'm doing backflips on the trampoline. I'm about to try it on flat ground because I know that's prerequisite. You got to be able to do a backflip without the jump rope. This is my goal for the year. So now I get to ask you to teach. I mean, I need videos, but you can teach me right now.
I need to send you this video. So good reminder for that. But doing a backflip with the rope, I would say one of the progressions, one is to be able to do a backflip, right? Second one, put something in your hand first, right? So get some handles without a rope and just flip with something in your hand and not touching your knees. Because when you do a backflip with your rope, you can't tuck with your knees. You can't grab your knees to pull you over. You just have to make sure that you can tuck and get yourself over without it. So doing those things first. Once that becomes very natural to you, then you make sure you have a rope inside of those handles and you just do your flip, but don't try to actually bring it under more than once. Just let it follow you around, right? So you do your flip, you tuck, don't grab your knees, just let it follow you. Once that becomes very natural again, then you can start trying to add a revolution or two. So normally when you go up, that's like your first revolution. And when it comes under, that's two. And then when it goes over again, that'll be three. So I would do handles with the rope, and then let it follow you, and then slowly but surely try to get your revolutions, but don't just go right into it. And last thing, you have to finish your flip. The rope will hit you at some point, and that's okay. You cannot stop flipping. You have to finish your flip, figure out what happened, and then you do it again. Finish your flip.
Yeah. Don't land on your face.
No, please don't land on your face.
Yeah, I'm a little bit, it took me a while to get the backflip thing down. Now I'm doing it flat-footed on a trampoline. So I got to get to the off the trampolines. I know I'm getting a little bit of spring, but it's just a life goal. So the other fun question related to all this is like, are you as fit as you are and have as many muscles as you do because of jump rope?
I'm going to say like yes and no. I think jump rope has definitely helped my fitness level. It's helped me develop my shoulders, my legs, because of the power skills and multiple under skills that I do, and most people do, right? But I think for me, I grew up also playing other sports. So I played football, I played basketball, I ran track. And during the off season of those sports, I was also lifting weights. So now I'll tell you this, I'm not somebody who like I'm not like a gym rat who like wants to get in the gym and like, let's see what my max is. Like, I love doing it, but that's not how I approach lifting weights. I approach lifting weights more of, I want to maintain what I have. And so therefore I'm going to go lift weights. But I do a lot of other cross training, right? So we go to a CrossFit gym and we do some of the CrossFit workouts. We lift on our own, a little bit of running here and there, more in the CrossFit workouts. But we do a lot of that outside of jump rope to keep and maintain our bodies. And then it just helps with the with what we are already doing with jump rope, because we're just trying to just basically maintain it all. So yeah, that's
right.
That's really what we're doing.
So do you find that CrossFit workouts are the best translation to maintaining the skills that you guys have with the jump rope, or are they just like available and you do it? Like, why do CrossFit workouts?
Yeah, so I think they're available right now. I think that's the one of the reasons why we do CrossFit workouts. If for us, we would probably prefer more of a boot camp style workout where there's maybe 6 to 8 different movements that you're doing over 45 minutes and you're kind of just moving, because it's more, it's like that cross training that you're looking for. When you get to CrossFit, sometimes it's heavier weight and sometimes it's only 2 or 3 movements. So those are still good movements to do. And it helps. And if you ask my wife, she would also say that CrossFit, as far as the competitive space of jump rope, that's strength endurance. And so how long can you move this weight over a period of time? If you think about single rope freestyle, that's basically strength endurance. You're like going, going, going for a minute and a half, doing all of your hardest skills. So CrossFit in a lot of ways actually can translate over. But you have to be safe with it, right? You have to understand how to move a barbell and the ways to do that in order to be efficient with CrossFit for it to actually translate for a actual competitive jumper. So you can do CrossFit if you understand barbell movements, but if not, just a standard boot camp workout with it, body weight, goblet squats, things like that, that's not so barbell heavy, can translate as well.
Yeah, it's super interesting because, you know, like for us as a jump rope company, the CrossFit community and the jump rope community both use jump ropes, but in very different ways. And like the extent of the jump rope use in CrossFit's minimal. And so I shouldn't say always, but a lot of times they're separate, like in my mind. But it sounds like there's a lot of crossover as far as value that you can get from the training that comes in the CrossFit methodology that would apply really well to jump rope and competitive jump rope, or even just like general fitness, if you're trying to incorporate jump rope a lot into exercise, which I hadn't really thought of or put the two together. So
sure. Yeah. No, I mean, they definitely can go hand in hand. I think it depends on the person, what they want out of it. When it comes to competitive athletes, jump rope based as well. I would say that we have to do a better job of treating ourselves as true athletes. And so that means doing other things besides just jump rope. Maybe go find a CrossFit class, or maybe go find a boot camp class or some weight training, because those things will actually correlate, right? It'll help you in the long run. And like we as jump rope athletes, a lot of people don't do that. And it's just unfortunate sometimes, because people could be a lot better if they decide to actually go that route and learn how to like move a barbell and get stronger, because it's going to make their jumping that much better.
Yeah. It's interesting too. And even as you're saying that, you know, like Tori Boggs, who's probably one of the better female jumpers even today, like she spends a lot of time doing CrossFit training. So yeah, I would say like for the two of you guys to be saying that, like makes a lot of sense then, that it probably would work out well.
Kaylee was the one, if you like, she truly trained like an athlete. Like she was the one, she went and got a personal trainer. She read every book. Like she was that, she saw jump rope as a true, Kaylee saw jump rope, not that we don't, but she saw it as like a true sport. Like when you play football, you try to get every advantage that you can to keep moving forward. And that was Kaylee. She was like, I'm gonna get in the gym, I'm going to lift weights, I'm going to do this. You don't see that anywhere else. If I wouldn't have played other sports, I wouldn't have worked out, because I was like, all I need to do is jump rope. Like I'm fine. Right. But because I lifted weights and I started to get stronger. Well, then my jumping got better too. I never actually connected the two, but if I go back and look, I'm like, oh, well, it makes a lot of sense. But I was no jumper actually thinks about that. They're like, I just need to jump rope. What else?
Well, is that a coaching problem though?
So there's a lot of I think we do need more coaching.
Education. Put them on the spot, Nick. Put them on the spot.
I think coaching is good because when our sport started, we had a lot of PE teachers, right? And so they were physical education teachers learning how to enhance jump rope and keep things moving. Once they stopped, then we started having like moms or dads take over, right? And so they would help out and keep things rolling the way that it was going already. Then after that, like, if nobody's telling you that you should be doing these other things to make it better, well, then why are you going to do it? We've all had different ideas of how to like make a triple under better or a quad better or a TJ or a frog. And some of it was like small gymnastics tips or whatever it is. But a lot of people weren't saying go lift weights. A lot of people weren't saying go cross train. People were saying, well, like, go do, if you want to get the flip, go do gymnastics. Yes, that is a thing, but you can also do gymnastics and go do some squats, because all of these things are going to work together. And so I think that's just a coaching education that, like, you know, Kaylee and I would like to bring out more to help, you know, coaches, because you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
If I've never told you to go and make sure that your kids are, you know, lifting, doing body weight exercises 2 days a week to make sure that they can actually move their own body weight, well, then you're just going to go jump rope. So it's small things like that that I think we just need to do a better job as a sport, helping our coaches help our athletes become better athletes. That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah. No, that's good. Because I'm also, even as you're saying that, like, thinking too, it's probably access to some degree, right? Like, you know, you think about being on a football team or a baseball team or a basketball team at the high school level, or even middle school in a lot of places, you have access to a weight room. But if you're on a jump rope club, like, you aren't on the schedule, you know, like, you might get it once a week or something, but so it's, there's this, you know, it's, there's just more friction to having access to weights and the opportunity to do that cross training that, you know, other athletes don't necessarily have.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is jump rope isn't seen like the other sports are being seen, right? So when you see football and basketball and track, and you see these big profile athletes, LeBron, Kyler Murray, like all these athletes, and you know, in the off season, they're hitting the gym, they're doing all these things, right? Well, jump rope's not seen, so people can see it at a high level and then be like, well, what are they doing so I can do that? Everybody, like, our younger generation is looking at us and they can see some of those things, but it's not on TV. So right. Why do we can get into a weight room to, like, we're not on TV yet, but if we were on TV and people were getting paid and all those things, I think people would be like, well, what else can I do to get another edge? How can I get in the gym and make sure my back lifts higher? That's not a huge thing right now. I think it will become a thing, which would be great, but it's just it's the evolution of our sport, and we'll get there.
Yeah. There's no there's no carrot on a stick hanging in front of them right now. It's like, for the love of the sport and purely that at this point in time.
You got it.
So what is the hardest, in your opinion, what is the hardest jump rope skill or trick out there? And can you do it?
Yeah. So this might have changed over the years, and I'm gonna give you two, right? One is called a money maker. So you might have heard of this skill before. It is a kamikaze frog. So the best way I can describe it is, you're gonna do a handstand, the rope's in front of you. Instead of popping through your shoulders and snapping down so that you're like a handstand snap down and pulling the rope under, you're going to do a full jump on your hands. So you go to your hands, do a full jump on your, and land back on your hands, then you snap down to your feet. Back in 2006, I was the first person to ever land that skill. And for about eight, and the reason it was called the money maker is because Sean Hamilton bet me some money that I couldn't do it. And then the funny thing is, I actually missed when he bet me. So he was like, double or nothing. And do it, let's try it again. So I was like, all right. So, and we were at a world championship and we were in the back just like playing around with tricks, and I got the skill. So people went crazy. It was awesome. You should ask Sean about that money, because I've only seen a little bit of it, but
it's, dude, I'm going to. He's got to make do. I got exactly. your back, Nick.
Now I will say this: there have been other side bets on top of that bet, so I probably lost some money and then gained. So, but I'm pretty sure there's still something out there. So we just got to ask him.
It sounds like we got to make this public, and we're gonna have to put one more final like winner take all type of a situation on the table. We're gonna put our heads together over here, and we're gonna come up with something.
We might have to. But for, I would say, 6 to 8 years, I was the only person in the world who could do that skill. I didn't do it all the time. I might do it at a competition or two here or there. But then now I would say, and I might get the number wrong, but there's probably a collection of, I'll say, 10 to 15 jumpers in the world who can actually do that skill now. There's probably more, and I just haven't seen them all, so I apologize. But I would say 10 or 15 who can do that skill now. So that's one. And then another one was called the Death Wish. So the reason why that one, so it's a triple under skill. So it's a triple under AS where you do a crisscross behind your knees. So you okay. jump in the air and you do the crisscross behind your knees, which is the AS, but instead of just landing back on your feet, you're actually diving towards the ground at the same time, and you land in that handstand position and then you jump it. So there's a lot of things that can go wrong. If your hands get caught, you're face planting. Yeah. Believe me, it's happened and somebody's lost teeth before. You know, you can land on your head. You can mess up there's so many things that can go wrong, but it's called the Death Wish because of what all can happen. And I think in 2008, I was the first person to ever do that skill. And now there's probably, I will give that one 15 to 20 people who are doing that skill. There's different variations of it. You can do it with a TJ. You can do it backwards. You can do it forward. So, but at that time, I was the first person to do those. So I would say those are probably two of the hardest skills. Now, these other jumpers who are coming up now, they're taking those skills and adding to them, right? If you look mm-hmm. at the Porter Ballards, the Seth Ingrams, the Luke Boone, all of those jumpers, they're doing some of those skills with releases. And you know, so it's they're taking it up a notch, but I think the foundation of those are still, to me, one of the hardest skills to do, because so many things can go wrong when you do it, and it takes so much power to actually complete it. So I would say if you use those two as a base, then you can see where people are taking it from there.
Mm. What's fun actually listening to you break down something like that is, you know, I don't think I would appreciate if I saw it happen, just like somebody do it to the extent that I could appreciate it now, because now I can look for it and go, oh, that's like the hardest thing in jump rope right there. Yeah. And he just did it. That's crazy. Like,
yeah.
But you know, if nobody had told me that, I would have had no understanding that like it's that hard, because people that are good at stuff make it look easy. Like that's just the reality.
And that's the point. Like you want to make it look easy. And the crazy thing, like, when I was doing it and not making it look super effortless, right? Like it took a lot of power to knock that out. But you have individuals now who take that moneymaker skill and they'll put it in the middle of a show routine and they'll just do it. I know how hard that is. The jumpers know how hard it is, but the crowd's like,
Yeah.
You know, because there's just no concept behind it, because you made it look so easy, which is a testament to them and how much work they put into that skill. So I applaud everybody who makes it look that hard. Sorry, who makes it look that easy, but those skills are not easy at all.
Yeah. They don't sound easy as you described them. That's for sure. All right. So that's the hardest jump rope trick. Now I want to know, and that's the whole point of this podcast right now, is like, what is the hardest thing in your life that you wouldn't take back? And then subsequently, why?
Yeah, I think one of the hardest things in my life that I wouldn't take back is I tore my Achilles almost 10 years ago now. May 5th will make 10 years.
Okay. And you gonna celebrate that anniversary?
I will. I have a video of like my journey through that whole thing. It's on YouTube. I can send it to you. Okay. But yeah, I think that was probably one of the most humbling things that could have happened to me, because I took warming up for granted. Let's just start there. Because I didn't warm up properly. I wasn't stretched. I wasn't ready. Went out there to do my routine that I've done hundreds of times. And that time doing my backflip, I went up. It tore on the way up to my backflip. Then my round off, it tore. And it didn't pop. It didn't pop where it was shriveled up. It was hanging on by some threads. I landed and I couldn't jump, and I did not know why. So I sat on the ground, and I'm at a tournament, by the way. And everybody's like, Nick, stand up and jump. I'm like, I can't. I'm like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. It's just, it's not working. So I go and get a, I go to the emergency room. I don't know what's happening. I think it's like a sprained ankle. So they treat it as one. I did get an x-ray. It's swollen. So they tell me it's a sprained ankle. So they put me in a small walking boot. I'm walking for like 2 weeks trying to figure out how to get this thing fixed. I call them Doc, my athletic trainer from high school. I'm like, Doc, I had the sprained ankle. I need to jump this summer. What can I do? He's like, are you sure you didn't tear your Achilles? I was like, no, I didn't tear it. So I'm literally doing ankle exercises with a torn Achilles. I finally get an ultrasound. They see that it's an inch to an inch and a half gap that needs to be put back together. I cry my eyes out because I have never been injured ever to this point, like never. So this is my first major injury. We're supposed to be going to a world championship, and I'm supposed to be not competing, but performing at the 2012 Olympics with a group. So all of this is happening, and I get injured in May. So I literally cry for 2 hours. I'm like,
Your own or with somebody?
I was by myself. I was in the office, and they told me like, yeah, we're gonna have to have surgery. We'll schedule it for like, you know, 6 days out. I'm like, oh yeah, cool. Sure. Whatever. I get to my car and it just all comes out. I just lose it. I'm like, what is happening? So, you know, at the time I was in Seattle, Washington. So like Robbie, Brian, some of my guys I was jumping with, they all come over. Cause they all heard the news, consult, you know, and at that point, after talking to my family, we knew that this was like, you know, a setback that was going to give me like just a major comeback later on, right? It was a small setback that was going to be something bigger later on. And so after my crying moment, after that day, I was like, we have to get better. And so I prayed on it. I just asked God to take care of me through the process. So I had surgery, and then I went through, oh gosh, I don't know, 5-6 months of physical therapy. And the reason why I'm saying it was so humbling, like you can't walk, you know what I mean? Like you're in a walking boot, so that's fine. But they literally told me in order to jump again, I have to be able to walk on my toes. So when you're, so one foot, I can do it. The other foot is just limp every single time because I can't do it. So I'm for probably 3-4 weeks. That's my whole goal. How do I get on my toes? How do I get on my toes? So I finally get on my toes. It's like, okay, let's put a rope in your hand. So I start jumping a little bit, but I can only take off of 2 feet. That's all I can do, you know? So we start going through these little bitty milestones, all right? So then we start, you know, doing this little skating board and just getting used to pushing side to side, doing small little squats. You know, he allowed me to take off forcefully off of 2 feet, but still land on 2 feet. So my other foot can like take the brunt of everything. So I was able to do some handstands like that. I could do like a little round off, but land on 2 feet. So I went through this process step by step by step. And I never missed an appointment because I was like, I don't want to mess anything up. I've never been in this situation, but I want to overcome the situation. So I went through all of it. And the coolest thing was he actually had me do my backflip in his office before he released me.
Really?
And I remember it was like a month before he released me, and he was like, okay, go ahead and do your flip. I said, what? He said, yeah, do your flip right now. I said, but I don't want it to tear. He was like, you're past the point. It's not going to tear. You're not going to hurt yourself. You just have to have the confidence to do it. So I said, I told him, I was like, if you tell me I can do it, then I'll do it. But if you're asking me if I can do it, I'm going to be afraid.
Yeah,
so go for it. So I did my first back tuck in his room, and then, you know, I do some flips with like a full twist and stuff like that. I did all of that in his space, and he was like, how did that feel? I was like, it felt great. He was like, I'm not releasing you yet, but I just wanted to show you that you could still do it. And so that felt great. And so probably a month after that, I kept doing some more rehab. And so he finally released me, I think like early January. And that was just like the coolest feeling to know that I went from May, had surgery. It was a whole 8 month turnaround to not being able to walk on my toes, to just doing single bounces, to small crosses, to, you know, squatting again. And now like, I literally don't ever think about it. I never think about my, unless somebody asks me about, do you have a big injury or something like that? That's the only reason it comes up, but my legs as strong as ever. I've won several championships after it. And the cool thing, I got released in January, and that summer I went to the World Championship and I actually won my individual freestyle that year. So it was
That's
just
crazy.
Yeah, it all kind of came full circle. Like God was so good, but like I had to sit down. He was, and God knew what he was doing, because my left leg is my takeoff leg. And that's the one that tore. Because if it would have been my right leg, I still would have been trying things. I know myself, and I know my, if it wouldn't have been my left leg, I would be like, I can still jump. Yep, I can still do it. But because it was my left leg and everything comes off of that leg, I couldn't do anything. So I had to sit, I had to wait. It helped me with coaching. Like, it was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah. So I got a thought that I want to come back to from that. But before I share that thought, I want to hear, like, because, you know, you said it helped you with coaching, but like unpack a little bit, like why that was the best thing that ever happened to you. Cause that just sounds really hard, but like, what did it do for you? It humbled you, but why was that helpful? And, you know, like, just unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think for me, it was very helpful because I was getting on a coaching side. I was getting into like one of my first years of like really coaching this big elite team. And I was eventually going to start taking it over, which I didn't know at the time. But it allowed me to really like sit back and analyze how to coach better, how to give cues better, how to handle different situations better. Because normally I'm the type of coach and the type of person that if I see something wrong, especially in jump rope, I can show you what to do really quickly. I can jump through it. I can do all those things. And now like I'm in charge of 90 kids, but I can't show anything. So how do you give out better cues? How do you allow your other coaches to help you out in certain areas that normally you would do by yourself? So I think on a coaching side, that was perfect. On a physical side, it allowed me to understand my body even more. Like I have a lot of flipping awareness and body awareness, but like knowing that like my calf would not fire was the weirdest thing to me in the world. Because that I have always been able to use my feet and use my legs, but like I couldn't use this one side, and the atrophy was crazy. Like my one calf was huge. The other one was like, it was like a raisin. It was so small. And just to look at that, I'm like, but I was determined. I was like, I don't want this to be the end of my jump rope career. So knowing like, it helped me be able to say, one, listen to your doctor, right? But two, if he's giving you things outside of it, how much do you truly want it? So when he was telling me, Nick, you can do these stretches at home. You should get into a pool and walk around. I was literally calling my pool complex every day. Hey, can I get in the water? Because like, these are things that are going to help me. So I think just going through that process on the coaching side, on a physical side, on a spiritual side, like I had never prayed so much in my life. I had never read my Bible so much in my life, just because I couldn't do anything, you know? And when you're so used to go, some of those small things, you don't think about as much. And coaching, you don't want to take that for granted, but sometimes you do, and allow me to do that. Your own physical body, what's working, what's not working, how can you improve it? And then on the spiritual side, like growing your relationship with God, like those are the three things that really came from that 8 month journey. And I think it's helped me become a better person, a better husband, a better coach, a better business owner, because I always kind of go back to some of those things. Like, yes, this is tough right now, but what did I do to get through those things? Oh, I remembered I prayed. Oh, I remember I slowed myself down. Oh, I remember those things come back. You know, although it was 10 years ago, it's still so like at the forefront of my brain now to help me through almost every individual situation that I can go through now.
No, that's good. And I want to come back, like you were saying, you know, the physical therapist had you do your backflip like in his office.
Yep.
And instead of like releasing you to go figure it out on your own. And like you said, I think you said, like, if I was telling me that I could do it, there's no way I was doing it. And it just brought me back to like the story of Peter when, you know, he denies Jesus three times and he just like total wreck. And then before Jesus leaves, you know, he comes back after and he's like, sits with Peter and he goes, in the morning, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times. And I heard a pastor one time say, like, I think he asked him three times because that's how many times Peter denied Jesus. He was just like redeeming and restoring him. He didn't like, he did it in his presence so that Peter could then leave and go and do it. Like he like gave him a safe place to like restore. And like, that's what your physical therapist did, right? He like, this is a safe place. And I'm like going to help you through this. You're not on your own.
Yeah.
I was just like, I didn't know it, but he was just like Jesus.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely helped me out. Broke my confidence. I mean, it was great. Like, he is awesome. I tell people all the time, if you get injured, listen to your physical therapist. Listen, because they will help you.
Yeah, I mean, that's their job, right?
Right.
They won't have one if they don't help. So, All right. For somebody who's in their own, like, hard thing right now or difficult season, what advice would you give them?
Advice I would give to somebody who's in a hard season right now is, first thing is, know that it's not going to last forever. When you're in that season, when you're in that moment, it feels like it's never going to end, but I can assure you there will be some light at the end of the tunnel, okay? Second thing is, find a really good support system. If you're trying to go through something alone, it's going to be pretty hard because you're always going to be within your own thoughts. But if you can find friends, family, somebody that you really trust in, a group of people that you trust in, that is going to help you overcome a lot of that as well, because you can bounce ideas off of them. They can give you encouragement, things that you might not have thought of. So those, so I would say that as well. And then, you know, on a spiritual sense, like, have a relationship with God, right? You got a relationship with God, that is something that's going to carry you over everything, right? At the end of the day, like, he is going to lead you through anything. And so if you have that relationship with God, then you are definitely going to be, in my opinion, in good spirits. And you will know, regardless if you know, have a support system with friends and family, you will know that you will get through it because you have him to hang your hat on no matter what. So I would say, like, those are my three things. Know that you're going to get through it, have a support system, but above everything else, know that God is there to lead you through anything and everything that you get into.
Yeah. Well, that's good advice. And you seem ready for it, man. It's almost like somebody's asked you for advice before.
of course.
So my last question is, right now, like, what is this? May 2022, what is a hard thing you're currently working through?
I would say a hard thing that I am currently working through is continuing to build our business and our brand. I think as an entrepreneur, if for anybody who's an entrepreneur out there, you know that it's always a grind. You're always trying to figure things out. And I think for us, we're trying to always put our best foot forward in all of the different programs and activities that we can do. And so I think right now is my wife and me. Like, that's the business right now. But we want to get to a point where we can start hiring out other jumpers or non-jumpers to go teach classes, to do some of these services. And so I think one of the biggest things the hardest things that I'm going through is navigating the business side and how you can continue to grow your business, not just you, not just me and my wife, but how do I bring others in? And how do I let go of a few responsibilities to let other people do that? And, you know, as an entrepreneur, if you've been doing it by yourself or just with your spouse, all you know is what you've been doing all, you know. So being able to talk to some other people and figure out ways that I can, you know, offload a few things and have somebody go do a class or a show, I think those are some of the hard things that, like, I would feel like I'm working through right now. I love our business. I love what we do. And we're expanding. And so I really want to get more help on the administrative side, but I also want to get more help on the jumping side of things so I can send more people out there so we can keep serving more people and making sure that people get great quality jumpers, instruction in front of them. So whenever you see Learn the Ropes, you know it's a great product. It's not Nick, it's not Kaylee. The product itself is great quality jumping, and that's what we want to give.
Yeah, man, growing a business. I don't think there's anybody out there who would say that is easy. No. And if they are lying to you. So, I think, you know, if I've learned anything listening to people's stories about certain businesses, that's hard work. And so, yeah, man, we love working with you guys. I think you're doing it the right way. So, and it's good to know you. I'm glad we got to do this, man. And thanks for sitting on a call with me and answering some questions, sharing your stories. And yeah, I'm looking forward to now mastering the backflip.
For sure. Yeah, master that backflip. Thanks for having me on here. Like, it's been a blast as always. Y'all are a great company to work with.
Thanks for listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. We hope you're encouraged today and have a newfound hope to persevere. Be sure to subscribe for more great episodes and conversations. And if you ever want to watch an episode, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/ElitesRS. Have a blessed day.